Hello and a very warm welcome to a fresh new Friday Five. And did you know that today is World Sleep Day? How are you sleeping at the moment? Well, there are some very easy ways that we can all improve our well-being by getting better sleep. And sleep is something that we cover a lot, actually, both in the magazine and also online. So I thought I'd just run through a few simple strategies of things that we found really work. And keeping to a routine, actually, is one of the simplest ways to improve sleep quality. And that's because our body runs to an internal clock. It's our circadian rhythms. And that really dictates the peaks and the troughs of wakefulness and tiredness that we get throughout the day. So to keep our circadian rhythms in check, what we have to do is aim to sleep and wake at the same time every day. So that means that a longer lie-in at the weekend, you may be thinking, hey, weekend's coming, Saturday and Sunday I shall have a lie-in. Actually, the body doesn't respond to that really well. You know, if we always wake up at 7 o'clock every morning during the week, it is better for our well-being if you can continue that on Saturday and Sunday. Now, I find that a real struggle because I do enjoy a bit of a lie-in. But what I've trained myself to do is to wake at 7, get up, potter about, make a cup of tea, head back to bed with the papers or whatever. So I'm kind of rested and I'm in weekend mode. But I have actually woken my body up and you do actually feel more energized. And there are studies that show that we can feel just woozy from having too much sleep as we can from having too little. So talking about routines and rhythm, a great thing for getting to sleep is to have a set routine, you know, set the scene to start with. Try and go to bed at the same time every night. And a question that I'm often asked is, well, how much should we be sleeping? What's the optimum amount? And talking through all the different experts over the years about sleep, it seems that the optimum level for us is 7.5 hours. And I do always try and do that. I try and ring fence my sleep. You know, I can cope with a lot in life, hopefully. But if I don't get good quality sleep, then that's when the wheels fall off the wagon. And I'm sure the same goes for you as well. So if you can, really try and protect your sleep. So having a routine helps. Having a really dark room. So check your room. Do you have any annoying little glowing LED lights around you that you might need to just cover up before you go to sleep? Make sure that you've got blackout blinds or closely fitted curtains. Sleep with an eye shade if you have to. If you've got really thin curtains and you can't change them, perhaps if you're traveling. Sound is also really important. Earplugs really work for me. I'm very sound sensitive. The tiniest noise actually will wake me up. So I invested in a pair of silicone earplugs. And these are the kind that you can get molded to fit your ear. And there are lots of hearing specialists. You can look them up online to find your nearest one. And you go along and you have a wax mold made of your ear. And they will then send that away and have silicone ear molds made, especially for sleeping. They're really comfortable. They last for a long, long time. You can travel with them. You know, you can use them on noisy trains and planes. And just always have them with you so that whenever you're traveling and you know that you might be somewhere that's quite noisy and the sleep might be disturbed by noise, then you can pop in your earplugs. I actually do keep mine in the car as well for noisy children. There you go. Just takes the edge off that constant din. So another great thing to do for sleep is to set a caffeine curfew. So just as many of us will enjoy that morning cup of tea or coffee because it's stimulating, you really don't want to be having that, you know, 6 hours before bedtime. So decide when you're going to go to bed, have a caffeine curfew when you say, right, no tea, no coffee, even dark chocolate. Much as I love dark chocolate, you know, if I am choosing a pudding, if I'm out in the evening at a restaurant or friend's house, I won't have dark chocolate. I'll save that and really won't have any dark chocolate after about tea time. So 5 hours before bed, that's a really good time for our circadian rhythms, for us to actually be outside. Walking outside, going for an evening stroll. Again, it's a good way to mentally calm the mind. And then there are some aromas that really help. We know statistically that lavender is a really good switch-off scent. So you can get lots of lavender pillow sprays, sleep sprays. They tend to be quite pricey. And to be really honest, I find that just a couple of drops of pure lavender oil sprinkled on my pillow last thing at night just kind of sets the scene. You know, it tells my brain, right, it's time for bed, guys, and I'm going to get a good night's sleep. So in addition to Talking about sleep this week, I've been aware of quite a lot of discussion about the brain and aging, ways to ward off Alzheimer's and dementia. And people are talking about brain health, brain gymnastics even, what we should be doing to keep our brains healthy. There was an interesting study out showing that the more we exercise physically, the better for our brain as well as for our body. We know that brisk daily walking, for example, can lower our risk for dementia as well as improving overall health. And it's something to do with exercise producing proteins that stimulate brain cells to sprout new branches and communicate more effectively. And we know that workouts as well, if you're exercising, that boosts our endorphins, which also lifts our mood. And exercise literally can make our brain bigger. And the experts again say that a bigger brain is a better brain. Other things that we can do are things like mental exercises, playing games, socializing, chatting, learning something new. So when we learn new things, we're activating new areas in the brain. And that again is very stimulating. So, you know, if you think that doing Sudokus or crosswords, you know, they are all very good for mental agility and for memory. But what really helps as we age is learning a new thing. And it doesn't have to be complicated. You know, of course, you can learn a new language or a new skill, but even things like learning new recipes, you know, learning to cook something that's just a little bit more complicated, a little bit out of the norm, or perhaps a new game, a new card game, something like that, that just keeps that mental agility going. So that's the good stuff. The bad stuff when it comes to brain is stress. You know, stress shrinks the brain's memory centers, and the stress hormones, particularly cortisol, will temporarily impair our memory. So if you want to keep your brain crisp and your memory strong and good mental clarity, try and minimize stress levels. So things like meditation is very good. Yoga, Tai Chi, all those kind of relaxation methods can help reverse stress and also improve overall memory and actually hardwire the brain into getting a good night's sleep as well. So it all links back to World Sleep Day. There were some interesting studies in the news, which sadly were not right, talking about HRT. Oh my goodness, got my head in my hands. So much that's in the media about HRT is wrong. There was a link with Alzheimer's, which really was based on old research, the old type of HRT. It's not statistically significant. And actually, there are some more interesting trials that show that HRT or estrogen can particularly improve dementia. Got to get that differentiation, Alzheimer's and dementia. This particular study was looking at dementia and showing that women who take HRT or have higher levels of estrogen seem to be better protected for dementia. And on the subject of HRT, many of you will know that I have written a download called The Truth About HRT. And this partly actually was to rebut so many of the myths and the scaremongering that have been surrounding it. And I've got lots of podcasts coming up talking about this because the feedback and the interest has been really extraordinary. So if you'd like the download, you just head over to lizarwellbeing.com and you'll find it there. And I really wrote it as an adjunct to the book that I published last year called The Good Menopause Guide. That came out on International Women's Day. And that has lots of recipes which are low GI, so low glycemic index. We know that sugar is not very good for the menopause. Sugar is also not very good for the brain. So those two things read together, The Good Menopause Guide and the HRT download. The great thing about a download, of course, is that it's digital, and that means that I can put in lots of nice clickable links, and I can also update it. So when we get scare stories in the media, I can actually go onto the download and update it. So it's certainly worth keeping an eye on that. If you're interested, by the way, in the Good Menopause Guide book, I did hop onto Amazon just now, and it is at its lowest price ever. Its published price is £25, but they've got it for just £7.77. How do they come up with these figures? Anyway, £7.77, that's the lowest price I've ever seen it. So thanks for that, Amazon, and grab yourself a bargain while you can. Now, there are still some tickets left to join me in Shaftesbury next Friday evening. That's for a talk at the Shaftesbury Arts Centre, and that again is specifically on menopause. Shaftesbury Arts Centre, you'll find booking details on their website. And there are also a few spaces left for a really delicious lunch that I'm going to be hosting down in the New Forest. That's at Burley Manor Hotel. And I'm going to be talking about gut health as well as menopause and hormone health. I've created a menu, lots of gut-friendly food on that as well. And Burley Manor is spelt B-U-R-L-E-Y, Burley Manor. So if you'd like tickets to come along to that, that's Monday the 18th. Few spaces left to join me there. Lots of free resources, of course, for everybody, no matter which part of the world you live in. You can download the podcast. This week, I continued my series on pelvic health, and it's all about UTIs. UTIs, urinary tract infections. Not a particularly sexy subject, but actually a really important one, and it affects many, many people. And I talked to the brilliant Dr. Louise Newson, who I collaborate with on so many of our medical issues. And I was very interested, actually, when she and I were talking about the difference between cystitis, which is so common, and UTIs, and how best to treat both of those. So a really good listen, perhaps a longer listen. Obviously, the Friday Five is just a quick roundup, whereas my podcast series, which we normally produce a new episode every Wednesday, that's a much longer in-depth look at a specific subject. And there is a huge backlog. So if you want to head over to iTunes, or if you listen on an Android phone, then you can download it on Stitcher. I've had amazing reviews. Thank you very much indeed. If you haven't left me a review, I would love it. It really does help to boost these podcasts up the iTunes or the Android charts and just make them more accessible and more widely available for more people to tune in. And last but not least, don't forget you can sign up to my free weekly newsletter. This is something that we mail out each Friday. Gosh, Fridays really are a bumper day, aren't they? And all you have to do is head again to lizarwellbeing.com for this. You can sign up. We promise never to spam you or share your marketing details or anything like that. It is just a free little nugget of well-being that comes into your inbox every Friday. In particular, we've got great links this week, and we've got the most delicious recipe actually for a chocolate and almond tray bake, which I shall be making this weekend. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing with your family, your loved ones, your friends, I wish you a great weekend, and I'll look forward to being in your ear this time next week. Go well. Bye-bye. Thank you.